You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no done before in greater measure, you will do again, 'cause there's no.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome. This is Wednesday Live. David, can you believe that it's Wednesday already?
My goodness gracious. I mean, time is just
How about
flown.
Christmas? Almost Christmas already.
Christmas is just around the corner.
New Year's is coming. New Year is coming. And here we just got finished with Thanksgiving and already we're off and running with all this great stuff. I think you have a little bit to share with us. And
we do.
I am going to look to connect with our guest that's getting ready to join us right now.
You know, from time to time, we do offer our listeners opportunities to serve on county boards. Martin County is the only stuff we get, so that's the only opportunities we share. But Martin County has just sent us four different board vacancies, and undoubtedly, if you become involved in these, you will not be bored. But anyway, okay, just a little pun there. Now I'm going to do is list the names of the boards and any pertinent information, but I'm going to then give you the name and number of a person you can call with Martin County to get more detail, because there is more detail we don't have time to cover. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Board vacancies, again, this is from Martin County. This is a group that advises, obviously, Parks and Recreation aspect of the Martin County administration, and there's one vacant position, or there's two at-large members that have to be replaced. They have to be Martin County residents, not employed by the county, or related to a county employee, or have a business relationship with Parks and Recreation. But if that's interesting to you, make a note of that. The Historic Preservation Board vacancies, and as I get older, I appreciate the fact that with my history, I could be preserved as well. No, actually, this has to do with construction, mainly buildings and such, and land. The Historic Preservation Board vacancies, they looking for an architect with professional or educational experience related to historic preservation, a citizen with demonstrated knowledge specifically related to Martin County history, a realtor, and at-large members who, by virtue of their profession or business, have demonstrated interest and experience in this area. The third committee is the Health Facilities Authority vacancies. There's vacancies on this board. It's a four-year term. You cannot be doing business with the agency. But that has to do with advising the county commission on health facility stuff. The last one is Community Development Block Grant Citizen Advisory Task Force Committee. And there's several vacancies. That's a lot, but it has to do with monies that come in that are be designated for development, certain blocks within the county. And there's a vacant position, a resident of unincorporated Martin County. And you must be from a low to moderate income household as determined by their income survey. And, of course, in all these committees, there's going to be a few more requirements we just don't have time to mention. But if any of these positions has intrigued you, you can contact Donna Gordon at the Martin County Admin Office. That number is 772-288-5756. Or you can email her at dgordon@martin.fl.us.
All right. Thank you,
there
David.
You go. You're welcome.
Well, I was hopeful to be bringing Daniel on. Maybe Daniel will call us back. We are looking to connect with the goes by the gold guy. And he has a lot of great information about what's going on and a lot of talk with our in the news about digital digital money and what's happening. Prices are going up with gold and silver, and Daniel's a guy that can help us with that. So,
and if I had a couple pounds of gold a couple of years ago, I'd be wealthy man today.
You'd be a wealthy man.
Woo.
I think we're still looking for Daniel. All right, Karen, you have some local mail.
I do. I have, we have a couple of letters here from some of our listeners. And this is from Lynn. And Lynn writes, to all the staff that is at the Christian Radio Good News Station helping out first, that is good news. God bless you all. Cover you all with his blood, because I pray for every one of you always. I went with Tom Creighton to Israel, Jerusalem, had a wonderful time. God bless him. I used to send $30 every year to the station, but not last year. I am still having problems with my eyes. So please pray for me always. And also, Pastor, looks like Sean, thanks a lot. This is my station, WCNO, 30 years. And that's from Mrs. Lynn. And she said, we all love each other, but God loves us all more. I am 89 years young.
Wow, 89 years young. That is awesome.
Great.
Listening for 30 years.
Yes.
And sending in her donations, and Merry Christmas to you. We thank God for your mail. That's great. We love to get mail from our family.
Amen.
That's really special.
And then another letter here from Winifred. And we had spoken about Winifred, the loss of her son, when we were praying for her. And, you know, we sent her a card. And she writes back and said, I pray that God will bless and keep you always. Thank you so much for the card of sympathy on the death of my son. Thank you so much. You really touched my heart with such love. Please continue to pray for me and my family as we try to heal. Enclosed is my $100 pledge. That's part of my monthly pledge. Thanks for all you are doing for our loving Savior in heaven. God bless you and keep you as you put out his wonderful works. Hallelujah. And that's from Winifred in Boca. And then lastly, we have a letter, or a little note here, that was sent in with a donation. Dear friends, due to COVID and many other things, I don't believe I ever took care of this. God bless and Merry Christmas. And this was from October of 2020. She sent us back the letter that we had sent out for that fundraiser in 2020 during COVID. And she's just now sending her donation in from her pledge that she made. So see, we didn't go after her.
Isn't that awesome,
it's
though?
Amazing. I mean, yes.
When I saw that, at first I didn't recognize that this was dated back several years ago. And then as I read it, and I was just looking at it, and I'm like, wait a minute. And that is exactly the way things are done here at WCNO. It's the way God provides. We are a faith ministry. We are a listener-supported ministry. But we probably have a number of listeners who have desired to give at some time. Maybe you weren't able to, but maybe you're able to now. And so one thing with WCNO, we do not make solicitation calls.
It's true.
We've had people call and say, please don't call me anymore. No, that's not WCNO. WCNO does not make solicitation calls. We only send mail out a very few times, a couple times a year, most of the time, just twice. And so we want to thank all of you who are a part of this family. You give, you support, you've been giving for all of these years. And so we thank you so much for your donations. And thank you for remembering us, even if it's been a few years ago. If God has changed things, you're now able to make that donation, then that's going to it's going to meet a need at this time, because sometimes someone else may be in the situation you are in over those times, those years. And so it's a great blessing. Any other mail?
We had a little, I'm assuming that this is from our friend Marilee, who always sends us little notes from the Humane Society.
Okay.
Mm. And there's one with a lovely picture of two orange cats, orange tabbies. And that can be a little postcard that somebody could use.
Yeah, that's sweet.
But, you know, we just enjoy looking at the kitty pictures.
I think I have a call coming in. Let's see if we're able to take it. Hello?
And then,
yes, Jonathan.
Is this Daniel?
Yes, it is. How you doing, good sir?
Doing well. Stand by 1 second. Karen, I want to finish up what you were saying. I'm so glad Daniel was able to connect with us.
Yes. And anyway, so along with that picture of the little kitty, there's a little couple little recipes for your pets. Some food recipes.
I'm glad there. You clarified that.
Just had two. One for your cat and one for your dog.
Okay.
And
food you can make for your pets.
That you can make for your pets. Yeah.
All right. So, Daniel, if you need any recipes for your pets, Karen's the one to talk to right here at WCNO.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, Daniel, great to have you on air with us again. And for those in our family who do not know who you are, we call you the gold guy here. But you're a man of God, and you're a brother that God's given some special gifts to. And so we love to have you come on air with us. And I believe this morning's going to be the first in kind of a series. We're going to do a few of these. So what are we going to be looking at today that has to do with gold and silver and what's taking place? Where do you want to start?
Well, I think I want to start with the silver price, and now that it's over $60.
It's crazy.
An ounce,
over 60 today? Wow.
Yeah. Let me see. It might even be over 61. Let me see where it's at. No, it's $60.74, so almost $61.
Hmm.
Yeah, so what's happening is that silver is a precious metal, but it's also an industrial metal. It's used in every aspect of society, electronics, medical uses. It has antiviral, antibacterial properties on the medical side. It's used in the military industrial complex. Every Tomahawk missile has over 500 ounces of silver, and they just increased the elevated silver to a strategic metal for the United States. The United States has quadrupled their warhead production with Lockheed Martin and all the other companies that make it, and the supply is not keeping up with the demand. There is a lot much higher demand than there is supply. And right now, there is someone, the LBMA is the London Bullion Market Association. It's like it's the vaulting services that housed all the gold for the world during the gold standard in Brent Woods. So the LBMA is out of silver. There is someone, we don't know if it's a billionaire, a sovereign nation, a sovereign wealth fund, that is not taking a cash out value in dollars or pounds or fiat. They want delivery of over 12,500 tons of silver. And to put that into perspective, there's only 4,600 tons in the London LBMA vaults and about 2,400 tons in Shanghai. There isn't enough silver in the vaults around the world to cover that request for physical delivery. So there is a huge shortage in silver, not just in the LBMA, but around the world. Almost every single sovereign mint is either out of silver or is low on silver. The Canadian Mint, U.S. Mint, the British Mint, Royal British Mint, so forth, and there isn't enough mines to fulfill the demand that there is out there. To put it into further perspective, let's say that they discover a silver mine somewhere that can fulfill all the needs that we have. It takes up to 30 years to get a brand new mine into full production. Same thing with gold mines. So even if they discover a bunch of gold and a bunch of silver, which China has, China has discovered the largest gold mine in recorded history, it's going to take them close to 30 years to actually start tapping into that gold, those gold reserves and pumping it out of the ground. So there's a lot of issues with that. And why is silver price skyrocketing and gold price skyrocketing? It's because of inflation. It's the main reason. And inflation is the printing and the expansion of the currency supply. So as there's more currency in the economy, gold and silver acts as the perfect accounting method to absorb that liquidity, that expansion of currency. So right now, based on my analysis and a lot of people who are smarter than me when it comes to analyzing pricing of the precious metals markets, I'm seeing realistically silver hitting $200, $250 an ounce. And some, if you adjust for inflation, and let's say silver does a similar move that it did in the 80s, and it hit $50, when you adjust that for inflation, that's an $1,140 ounce of silver. And then gold, everybody I'm talking to, even JP Morgan Chase, the Bank of International Settlements, they're looking realistically at a $10,000 an ounce gold ounce. Mm-hmm. And if the governments decide to remonetize gold and silver, it can go as high as $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 an ounce if the governments around the world decide to back their currencies again with gold to account for how much they've printed.
Wow. Okay, so what does that mean for an individual that's listening today that maybe has been holding a little bit of silver, a little bit of gold, maybe have a few coins, maybe have been involved in a monthly purchase program? What's happening to the dollar, and what's happening with the digital money? How does all of this fit together, and how is this going to shake out here in the nation?
Yeah, so what does that mean? Back in 1933, they confiscated gold from Americans, and the reason they wanted to confiscate gold was because the United States government printed too much currency. And they were in debt. The United States doesn't like admitting that they've defaulted on their sovereign debt, but they did in 1933 after the Great Depression. So what Roosevelt decided to do was confiscate gold and silver, and fine people or throw them in prison if they didn't turn in their gold at the price. Sorry?
They literally were threatening to throw people into prison?
Oh, yeah, it's an executive order. If you did not turn in your gold, you'd be fined $10,000 or imprisoned up to 5 years. So to put into perspective, $10,000 would be over $400,000 today.
So, wow.
When you adjust for inflation. So it was a hefty fine. So Americans turned it in. That's why they built Fort Knox. Fort Knox was to hold the gold that they confiscated from Americans. And when they did that, what the entire plan was that they were going to reevaluate the price of gold from $20.22 an ounce to $35. And the reason why FDR and the government decided to do that was so that they wouldn't give a leg up to the people, because when you reevaluate gold, people who have the gold get that full increase of the purchasing power. That's called the Cantillon effect that I might have mentioned in a previous show. The Cantillon effect is those who are closest to the printing of the currency get the full purchasing power. And in the case of gold and silver, when you increase the asset backing the currency, you're basically devaluing the dollar. So by increasing the price of gold from $20.26 to $35, those who had physical gold got a full increase in purchasing power against the dollar, and now their gold could buy more than what the dollar was versus those who only held the dollar. The government did that on purpose so that the government would benefit from the total increase of the purchasing power of gold, devaluing the dollar, because debt is denominated in dollars. So if they increase the value of the gold, they print more dollars, and then they pay off the previous debt that wasn't inflated, because it's, the debt is always denominated in nominal dollars. So that was the plan, to pay off the debt. It's the exact same thing what they did in, I think it was 67, when they increased the price of $35 to $42. The government has done this two previous times, increased the price of the gold that they have in their vaults, devalued the dollar to pay off their debts. And that's exactly what they're discussing in the Bitcoin Reserve Act of 2025, where they're going to reevaluate the gold in the treasury, in the vaults of the treasury, from $42, and I think it's 26 cents as well, to whatever the market value, or Trump, within his authority that Congress has given him, can say, hey, an ounce of gold is $50,000. That instantly devalues the dollar. People who are saving in dollars lose that full purchasing power. That's over 120%. Oh no, is that, no, 1,020% decrease in purchasing power. And those who are holding gold will get the full impact of that increase. So that's the impact of them confiscating or reevaluating gold against the dollar. It's an instant devaluation of the dollar if they decide to do that across the world. There's a reason why the central banks around the world, Russia, China, India, Italy, Germany, every central bank except for the United States is buying gold. They're increasingly purchasing gold and increasing their holdings. And there's a reason for that. They do things and discuss things and plan things in secret because most governments follow Keynesian economics, which is a central planning idea of economics. And they're going to want to look out for their own government. So they're going to devalue the currency if they decide to do this and hurt the people, which is what they've been doing by printing debt and printing currency since we got on a fiat standard. That was the whole point. The dollar, the yen, the Great British Pound were designed in currency to steal the wealth of the people, and just attaching these currencies back to gold and increasing the amount of those fiat currencies that are required to purchase gold, that devalues instantly versus having to wait 5, 10, 20 years through regular inflation. And it's an instant inflation and devaluation of the dollar.
Wow. So how does the whole aspect of digital money, how does that play into this big picture that's going on right now?
Yeah, I was just having an interesting conversation this morning with my advisory board members, and one of my board members said, look, I bought $150,000 worth of metals, bought a safe, bolted it to the ground about 5-10 years ago, and now that same $150,000 is worth over $500,000. He's like, I'm afraid to go on vacation. And that's a serious problem that people might have. I mean, just this year, Jonathan, silver has increased. Now let me start with gold. Gold has gone up 58% as of yesterday, and as of yesterday, silver from January has gone up 109%. Imagine if you had $200,000 or $100,000 in silver. Now you have $200,000 or $400,000. It's a serious problem for people who are holding physical gold and silver. But thank goodness for the 21st century and technology and blockchain technology. What there are solutions out there for people who don't want to have that much risk. Because trust me, I have a similar problem. Like I don't want to leave sometimes when I don't have somebody I trust to watch my cats when I'm traveling, right? So
right,
I have close friends that come to the house. I don't want people knowing where I live. I don't want anybody around. It's a serious problem. People who have a lot of gold and silver physically have to contend with the intra-party risk or third-party risk if somebody has been, you know, following you or casing your house. It's a serious problem. So the solution is you can actually send your physical gold and silver and tokenize it or put it into a vault where they give you access to the liquidity of your gold and silver. And you can start spending your gold and silver with a debit card or transferring it to other people like Zelle or Cash App. There are companies like Kinesis out there or Alpine Gold Exchange and the UPMA. Even Glint just has a debit card. And there's at least six other companies that I know of, including Atmex with their product called One Gold, coming out with a debit card. And I think they're going to activate sending gold and silver. So the gold and silver industry is responding to these risks. They're responding to the problem with the devaluation of gold, of the dollar and other fiat currencies. And they have class three vaults. These are types of vaults that you need to go through multiple layers of security, biometric signature. They have armed guards, 24/7 monitoring. I mean, it's like trying to get into Fort Knox with these class three vaults. And a lot of these companies are providing these services where you can deposit your gold and silver, tokenize it so you can spend in the 21st century. Now, that's the solution for the digital. I do recommend people hold at least 6 to 12 months worth of cash and gold and silver as of an emergency fund. And if you decide to do 6 months, you want to put 50% in the gold and silver and 50% in the cash. If you're doing 12 months, you do 50% gold and silver, 50% cash, because that buffer of 3 months and 6 months of cash will give you an indication of when you need to start selling that gold and silver to make up the difference in an emergency. But if you are uncomfortable holding more than 12 months worth of gold and silver in your home, there's definitely options out there to vault it. You don't even need to send it to one of these vaulting companies to digitize it. There are vaulting companies that don't digitize around the state of Florida or around the country where you can just deposit your gold and silver. And from time to time, you can just call in, set up an appointment, and you can look at your gold and silver. I was talking to these guys in the group chat. It's like sometimes, because we were talking about this exact problem this morning. I said, you know, but there's something about gold and silver that activates the cartoon gene of Scrooge McDuck where you just want to swim in your gold and silver and play with it, right?
Right. Right.
So yeah. There are solutions out there, and the advent of blockchain technology in the 21st century allows us to verifiably audit gold and silver and transact with it digitally.
So, Daniel, there are so many fraudulent things that happen today as far as bank accounts, checking accounts, debit cards, credit cards. How does someone guard themselves against that in this whole market? It seems to me that that people are going to be saying, who can I trust?
Yeah. So there's always going to be risk. Florida has one of the highest crime rates when it comes to taking advantage of the elderly, because we're one of the older states in the union. And the state legislature is very aware of that. They're very protective of our older community. And they are, because they weren't raised in an era of technology, really my generation, the millennial generation, and you might even say some of the later Gen X generations were the first generations of the digital age. And anybody who wasn't born, anybody who was born before the late Gen X millennial generation are very susceptible to not understanding how these systems work. So it's just, when it comes to the personal level of somebody stealing your debit card or getting your password or you clicking on a phishing email that steals your information, you just got to be very diligent and just set really hard boundaries and rules where you're not going to click on anything unless you verify that the email is legitimate. If somebody calls you, do not give your information. Banks, the IRS, FBI, do not call you for your banking information. This is just information you need to learn and really protect yourself. Now, when it comes to third-party risk, like vaulting companies or businesses that steal your cash, what you want to look for is that these companies, or not cash, but your gold and silver, you want to make sure that they are audited by a third-party auditing firm at least twice a year. Kinesis, UPMA, Alpine Gold, Glint, they all have their audits public, and they're audited by reputable firms. There are companies who do something called attestations, and attestations are typically either a CPA or an attorney that says that they went in, they counted it. That's not the same as an audit. That is just them putting their licenses on the line. And if they're part of the fraud, they're going to lose, they're going to go to jail. And that's happened throughout the United States history. And that is why in the gold and silver community, we are called stackers. Those who buy gold and silver and aren't doing it as an investment to buy and sell it, they just buy it and stack it. There's a mantra that's been going on for decades. It's if you don't hold it, you don't own it. And that's why a lot of people, you hear stories of people digging holes and doing treasure maps. I know some of those people. I know some of those people in Florida that dig holes and put their gold and silver in bags. You know, they suck all the air out and put it in the ground because they just don't trust any other institution and they don't feel safe having it in their house because it's a high value target. So there are ways to mitigate that with having it at your house. But it's about just being prudent and learning how to prevent your information being stolen when it's just your debit card information, your passwords. And it's also you doing your own due diligence and researching a company before you send your gold and silver or even send your cash to buy gold and silver. You want to make sure they're reputable. And here's my other thing. Do not buy gold and silver from anybody who has a commercial on Fox News, CNN, or anyone else, because typically it's a well-known problem within the gold and silver industry that these companies are taking advantage of those who don't know about gold and silver and are charging sometimes 200-300% more than the value of the gold. You want to go to your local coin shop. First and foremost, build a relationship with your local coin shop owners. And because they are there for business, they have set their roots in your community, and they don't want to lose your business or go to jail or do anything nefarious. There are cases where people do that, but that's more money laundering side of things. But typically, they're going to sell you real gold and silver. Next is you want to find reputable online dealers like AppMex or JM Bullion or SC Bullion or even my own company. Which I have a physical location in Sebastian, and we're going to be having our website turned on here shortly. You want to find reputable dealers physically and online. A good place to look to buy cheap silver sometimes is a pawn shop. You never want to sell your gold and silver to a pawn shop, but they usually aren't gold and silver experts, and they usually sell gold and silver close to spot. But that's essentially how you want to protect yourself, how you want to buy gold and silver. And it's just really due diligence and making sure you know that who's reaching out to you and knowing the risks involved.
Daniel, I'm going to want to, hopefully you're going to be available to come back again, maybe next Wednesday, maybe for the next few weeks. We can just have a few minutes during Wednesday Live to sort of stay up with this. I know one thing I was wondering about is taxes, and as the price goes up and you're actually using a debit card that's pulling off of the gold that you have, and if you start making this transition, how does this work? How do I buy groceries? How do I make car payments? How do I pay my electric bill? How do I do things like that if I am looking to move from a paper dollar that seems to be losing value really quickly? And I mean, this is kind of like the new world, isn't it? This is a new place.
Yes, it is the new world. And the world has gone through many resets, monetary resets. Before it was the fiat dollar, it was the Bretton Woods gold dollar. Before that, it was the gold standard. Before that, it was the British pound. Before that, it was the Spanish silver reals, which was the monetary system. Typically, we have a total monetary reset every 45 to 90 years. We're overdue for that, with the dollar being the predominant system. And every indication that I'm seeing and analysts are seeing is that we're going to a digital world where sovereign nations and the largest banks and financial institutions are tokenizing real-world assets and making it transactional with debit cards and similar to like wire transfers or Cash App, Zelle transfers of real-world assets. A real-world asset means it's just taking gold and silver, real estate, oil, and they're tokenizing it so you can buy it digitally. And that token is your ownership stake, kind of like a stock, but you are able to transfer and prove ownership through that. So yeah, the future is digital. Whether we like it or not, screaming, and dragging our feet, it is definitely the future of finance. And I think that's what the reset is. I think the reset is going to be getting rid of the fiat dollar, the fiat currencies around the world, because it's a failed experiment. And they're going to back it with something tangible to counterbalance the risk of printing infinite currency.
Daniel, hopefully you can join us again next week. We will have you on the schedule, and we will just we'll try to take little bites, because this is overwhelming. I know as I look at this, it's kind of hard to figure out what is the world going to look like fiscally, financially. How is this going to work in everyday life? Is this going to be happening in 6 months? Is this happening right now? Has it already happened? Has it been happening for 10, 20 years? And how does this impact someone in their 20s? How does this impact someone in their 60s or their 70s? How does this impact retirement funds? How does this impact our Social Security and so many different things? There's so much that we could talk about. Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you. Keep you safe. And we'll be giving you a shout back.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Daniel. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, every time I have Daniel on the air, my brain just goes, woo!
And then you have 1,000 more questions.
then I have a lot more questions than I already had. And so I'm glad that I have a pastor coming in here with me that's going to help us to unravel some of this. Welcome, Pastor Crumby. Great to have you with us. I do have a call I need to make to one of our friends that has some church activities going on. Then, Pastor Crumby, we're going to get right on air. But first, just say hello to the people and introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Pastor Garfield Crumby of Divine Word Impact Kingdom Ministry, a ministry that is built for purpose and designed for impact.
Amen. And then you've recently started your program here on WCNO?
Yes.
Saturday morning.
Yes, I've joined the WCNO 89.9 FM family.
Amen. We are glad to have you. We are so glad to have you, Pastor. And we're going to be talking some more about the call of God on your life and how you ended up right here in the Treasure Coast of Florida. Let's see if we can find Rick Harmon. He's out there somewhere, I believe. Well, while we're looking to get a hold of Rick, I will go ahead and talk a little bit about what's coming up. It sounds like we're not connected yet. Maybe I dialed the wrong number. Didn't sound like Rick, did it? So, Pastor, tell us when your program is on the air, because I know we're going to have listeners today. They're going to say, I want to hear more from this brother.
Yes, we come on every Saturday morning from 8:30 to 8:45.
All right, we're going to try again and see if we can get Pastor Rick.
Hey, I'm here, Jonathan.
Hi there. Boy, trying to get connected. We all must be busy today.
It's a busy day, man, trying to get ready for the grand miracle.
The grand miracle coming up at New Hope Church. Tell us about this. What is the grand miracle all about?
Well, Jonathan, it's probably our 20th annual grand miracle. It started out as a drive-through nativity, then a hayride nativity, now it's a walk-through nativity. So we basically turned the place into a first century Jerusalem village over the weekend where people can see the nativity, live nativity scenes. And then inside the worship center, there is an interactive first century village. They get to, press wine, bake bread, learn crafts, take pictures. Everything's first century. It's an amazing event.
So this is coming up when, and how do people find out more, and does it cost anything? How does this work?
No, it's absolutely free. It's our gift to the community for Christmas. All they have to do is go to PCNH for Palm City New Hope .church, and all the details are there. It's free. It starts at 6:30. It's 6:30 to 8:30 this Friday night and this Saturday night. The walkthrough guided tour of the scenes, they stop at 8 o'clock, so please make sure you're there early to get that in. The village stays open till 8:30 or 9.
Okay. And this the card I'm looking at says the 12th and 13th, so it's two evenings?
Yes, two evenings from 6:30 to 8:30 this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. We have people that make this a part of their Christmas celebration every year, so I encourage you, if you've never experienced it, it is amazing, and we hope you'll come join us for the grand miracle.
All right, so what if I have two kids? What can I bring my kids?
Absolutely. It's open to all ages. There's pettings. There's all kinds of stuff for every, from toddlers all the way up to 100-year-old saints.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great time. I do see that it is handicap accessible, so that's important for a lot of our listeners.
Absolutely. We have some golf carts where we will take them around on golf carts, so nobody has to miss out on the event.
Once again, this is at New Hope Church. That's located 3900 Southwest Citrus Boulevard in Palm City, Florida. New Hope Church coming up this weekend. And the grand miracle, it is for the entire family, whether you're young or over 100. I heard Rick say that a minute ago. And so it's going to be available for all of you. It's an opportunity to not only experience a lot of the things that would have been taking place in Bethlehem. It's just going to be a great night. Sample biblical food. How about that? That's fun. You going to have some falafels? I'm just checking.
Well, that's the plan. You know how that goes. You know?
Well, if I come in, I'm going to be looking for some falafels and, you know, some. I see biblical food, metal and woodworking, pottery wheels, yes, petting farm, wine and olive press. Is that going to be with toes? Or is that going to be
barefooted?
Oh boy! But an opportunity to make free ornaments and crafts. This is going to be a great event. But the nativity is going to be there. The tour guided Jewish dancing. Are you going to be dancing at this event?
Well, I won't be, but some other people will be. Others will, not me. We have our Jerusalem Jewish dancers. They always take the stage. The people love that.
That's excellent. Again, the grand miracle coming up at New Hope Church, December the 12th, 13th, 6:30 p.m., right up till 8, 8:30 p.m. Guided tours ends at 8 p.m. Rick, give the contact information again. You probably have some of this on a web page if somebody wants to go and just check it out and make their plans.
Absolutely. PCNH.church. PCNH.church. Hey, Jonathan, thank you, my friend. Hey, I just want to say this, especially in our day and age, we will have a security guard at the front entrance.
Good.
Jordan County Sheriff's Department will be on scene, so it is safe, and please come out and celebrate Christmas with us this weekend at Palm City New Hope Church of the Nazarene. God bless you, Jonathan. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Have an awesome Christmas season, and I hope that I will be able to see you. My wife and I, we try to come out there, and the parking is available. It's great. Like you said, it's lit. It's safe. There's transportation. Your security is on the ball, and it would be a great evening for every family. One thing, Rick, what if a youth group, or what if a church group, maybe a Bible study group, maybe a fellowship, a church, what if they wanted to come out together? Do you have any of that happens?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we have several of the big golf carts rented, so if they want to go through as a group, we'll take care. We can accommodate just about any group size that comes through.
Awesome. Well, Merry Christmas to you and the whole family out there. We love you guys and so glad you're part of the body of Christ right here in the Treasure Coast. Doing a great job for Jesus.
You as well, my friend. People out there listening, please support WCNO. They are the best. God bless you, Jonathan.
Thank you. Have a Merry Christmas. Thank you, Rick. Consider yourself hugged and mugged, but stop by and see me in person's better.
I will come see you in the next few days. All right. I have something for you, my friend.
Okay. God bless, Rick. Take care.
God bless all right. everybody. Take
Thank
care.
You. Bye-bye. Goodbye. All
cool,
right.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Pastor Crumbie's with us. Pastor Crumbie, I'm not going to ask you if you're going to have a full nativity set up this year. Not quite this year, right?
Not quite this year.
Not quite this year. Pastor, welcome. It's so great Thank to you. Have you as one of our newer partners here at WCNO. Pleasure and again, you are on air every yes. Saturday morning, and that is at 8:30, yes. right up to 8:45. What mm-hmm. do you call your program?
The Empowerment Zone.
Empowerment Zone. Explain yeah. that. Why empowerment?
Well, the ministry of Jesus Christ is all about empowering. Mm. He chose 12 men. He said, follow me, and I will make you or empower you to be fishers of men. Then he told them to go into all the earth and to make disciples or empower men and women of other nations. So it's about empowering. It's about equipping. And it's about preparing individuals for their God-given purpose and assignment.
All right. So can you tell us a little bit about your God story?
Well,
you are a married man. I know that.
Yes, yes. Well, going back, I was actually called into ministry when I was 15 years
15.
Old.
15?
Yes, sir. And I ran from it for many years.
Okay.
Because I told the Lord I did not want to be a preacher. I did not want to be in ministry. I wanted us to pursue my own agenda and, right. my own goals. And one day the Lord said to me that I was resisting arrest. Mm. He said to me, I called Paul and he asked me, what do I want him to do? I called you and you are resisting arrest. So after he said that to me, and it kind of like, as Dr. King would say, rang in my ears with piercing familiarity. Okay. I had to just yield and submit to the mm-hmm. call mm-hmm. of God upon my life.
So you were born again as a young man?
Yes, sir, from I was 15 years old.
15 years old.
And it was at that time the Lord began to speak to me through dreams.
Okay.
As to my call and my assignment and what my assignment would entail. But that's not what I wanted for me, but apparently that's what God wanted then, so I submitted to the call of God.
Okay, so tell me about your wife, your family, and then we want to talk a bit about the ministry, how you ended up here on the Treasure Coast.
Yes, I have my beautiful wife, wonderful wife. Next month will be 34 years that we've been
34, yeah, wow. Yeah. How did you All stay right. so young? My goodness, you must have got married at 12.
Close, I was 23, she was 19.
23, okay.
Yes, and we have three wonderful children. And three grandsons.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And so how did you end up on the Treasure Coast of Florida?
Well,
it sounds like you may have come from some other place.
Yes. I lived in New York for over 30 years.
Okay.
And I told myself I would never leave New York.
Aren't there any lost people up there?
Oh, that's my point exactly. And I told myself if I ever left New York, I would move to Georgia. I would never move to Florida.
Oh, okay.
But apparently God has a good
Don't
sense
say
of humor.
Never. Don't say never. Somebody said that.
Yes.
To God.
And I was working at the time a full time in ministry over there. I was working in a bookstore and grandmother walked in with her grandson and she stood by the door and she was staring at me and I'm wondering why is this lady staring at me.
Right.
Then she asked me, she said, have you ever considered moving? I said, no. And I sort of answered with a little attitude because right. that thought was never in the far reaches of my thought process to leave New York and go anywhere.
Exactly. And who are you to be asking me that question,
exactly.
right?
So when I asked her, I said, tell me, why did you ask me that question? She says, well, when I walked through the door and looked at you, I saw you moving to Florida. And so I just hit that. I just dismissed it in the filing cabinet of my mind.
Right.
And about a year and a half, 2 years later, I was on my way to church, and one of the intercessors ran me down and says, Elder Crumbie, I had a dream about you last night. I said, what was the dream? She said that I dreamt that you moved to Florida to accept a promotion. Mm. So when she said that, I'm like, okay, I can't pretend like I don't know what's going on anymore. And then the Lord just kept adding to it. I went to a Spanish church. I was sitting in the back, and the pastor was pointing in the back, and I was looking behind me because I thought he was pointing to the person behind me. And when I looked behind me, I thought I was on the last row. And he says, yes, you, come, yeah. come. He said to me, he says, I know why you're here. And in my mind, I'm like, you do? Okay. He said, you want to know if moving to Florida, if you're doing the right thing. Mm. And he said to me, the Lord says, the move is of me, and I will order your steps. Wow. And he said to me, even while I'm speaking to you prophetically right now, he said, I could hear in the heavens the spirit, the principalities there whining and complaining, saying, why is he coming here? Why does he have to come here? And after that, say, okay, Lord, you convinced me. Now you have to convince my wife. And he did, and we packed up our U-Haul truck and drove for 40 hours.
Wow.
From New York to Florida, and coming here, it's literally starting all over again.
Yeah.
I'm like, Lord, couldn't you have, you know, like really did this when I was in my youth? Not,
right.
You know, not when I'm looking out to retire.
Right.
You know, but, you know, God's timing is always perfect.
So what does the ministry look like today? And what has God put on your heart? How are you sort of getting started? You're here. You left a well-established ministry, and you were well-established there, and God's brought you here. So what's taking place right now?
Well, right now, for the past five, 6 years, I've been teaching premarital classes.
Okay.
I do mentoring. I do expository and exegetical teaching of the scriptures. Because a lot of times today when folks, especially preachers, they'll read the text and they go straight into application.
Right.
So they're application heavy. But they have not first exegeted the text so the individual can understand. And my philosophy is interpretation must come before application. Because if the interpretation is off, then the application will be off. But you get correct application from correct interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how applying that correct application to your life is helps to empower you and to walk with Christ.
So do you have a physical location? How can people connect with you?
Well, right now we're in the process of looking, but mainly now my ministry is mainly online. I do a lot of Zoom. I do a lot of Zoom teaching two, three times a week. I teach every Saturday morning after I leave the radio station. I teach a next generational discipleship training.
Okay.
Training. The Lord had spoke to me before coming to Florida that part of my assignment is to raise up and coming sons and runners of the next generation.
Excellent.
And so that's why I call it the Next Generation Discipleship Training Class, which is connected directly to the ministry that I'm a part of in New York, the Rama Christian Center.
Okay.
Under the leadership of my spiritual father and pastor, Bishop Roderick Roberts.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, praise God. So how can somebody find you? Somebody's listening today and they're like, wow, I'd like to figure out how to connect with this, with the brother.
Well, right now in the broadcast, I will provide the phone number with the radio station.
Okay.
So the individual who listen and they want to reach out to me, they can do that. Of course, I will return their call and have conversation with them. And if what I have to offer is relevant to them, then we can move forward from there.
What is that number?
Well, at this current moment,
we don't have the number.
No,
it's coming.
We have the phone, but the phone number is coming, yes.
Phone number's coming, so as soon as you get that, that'll be on your program.
Yes.
Again, your program is every Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 8:45, and it is power-packed, I hear. David, you've been involved in some of this, haven't you?
Well, I've produced Pastor Crumbie's program at least once. I've listened to it several other times. And I will say, Pastor Crumbie, the substance of your teaching, when you unpack the word, there's literally a lot of unpacking that goes on. But it's important, I think, to get, as you were talking about, that the application that many people move to, that the blessing is really getting deep into the word, really excising all the truth that's there and presenting it to the student, which brings more substance into our own lives and how we apply the word. And
absolutely.
I will tell you, I don't think I have heard any other program that we air or that anybody else airs that has that kind of substance to it. It's impressive, and it's truly a blessing.
I want to go to the promo that we have on the station that promotes your program, so when people are listening, they will sort of become familiar with that. Before I do that, Karen, you also have produced the program a few times, haven't you?
Tell us your take.
And
well, same like Dave, you know, the substance, you know, to me, it was like 15 minutes, you know, what can somebody really bring across in 15 minutes? And his program brings a lot. It's packed. There's no wasted words. And some of the illustrations that you give, you know, I'm a visual person, and then you know, so if I can see a picture of something, I have a better understanding. And you know, you give that a lot, you have a lot of good illustrations, and it helps to drive home the points that you're teaching about.
Let's go to that promo, and we'll be right back. We still have a few moments, and Pastor, when we come back, I want to just give you an opportunity to address the aspect we were talking about, empowerment, about the power of God that's available to the church. It's been more in my thinking recently that many of us fail to understand the greatness of that power that God has available to us.
Absolutely. Grace and peace, everyone. This is Pastor Garfield Crumbie. I'm inviting everyone to join me every Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Empowerment Zone right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
All right. So when you hear that, that's Pastor Crumbie, and that's going to be rotating around the clock really right here on WCNO to let you know that program's coming up. So Pastor, what about the power of God? How do you see that in it being available to the church? A lot of people go back, they look at Pentecost, and I hear some people say, well, you know, that was great for them, but we're in a different day. This, you know, things are changing, and we're just earlier talking about the money and what's going to happen with commerce. We're in a different day. So what about the power of God? Is it still available?
Yeah, the power of God is definitely still available. But one thing I think it's important to do is to make a distinction between power and authority.
Good.
Jesus said to his disciples, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. That's what King James said. But it's really, I give you power over all, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, the thing is, power is given, but authority, it has to be developed. And what I mean by that, one's authority is predicated upon one's proximity or relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, for example, the apostles did not have the power of the Holy Ghost when they went out teaching and came back saying to Jesus, demons are subjected unto us in your name. They did not have the power, but they had the authority, and that authority came about because of their close relational proximity to Jesus.
Yes.
The demon said to the seventh son of Cephas, says, Paul, I know because of his relational proximity to Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus, I know because of his relational proximity to the Father. But who are you?
Right.
So authority is based upon relationships. So God has given us the power, but it can only truly be accessed through authority, and that authority is developed through developing relationship with the Father.
That's intimacy. Intimacy with the Father.
That is
walking
intimacy
in the Spirit. You're not going to fulfill the work of the Spirit unless you're walking in the Spirit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of people walk in the flesh, and they're looking for the Spirit's work to show up, and they say, where is God?
Well, a lot of us, we sing and dance in the Spirit, but we walk in the flesh.
That's